I want us to open our Bibles this evening. I want us to turn in the Word of God just to a passage of God's Word in the book of Hebrews and the 9th chapter, Hebrews chapter 9. We turn in this passage of God's Word in Hebrews chapter 9, just read a few verses. It says in verse number 22, these words, that's Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens which shall be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should suffer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word today. We thank thee that thy word is truth. Lord, we live in an uncertain world. We cannot take the word of man anymore. But we thank thee that we can trust thy word. Though heaven and earth may pass away, that thy word shall never pass away. And we pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt take of thy word and write upon the hearts of each and every one that's gathered here. Speak to us of the things that really matter. Speak to us of eternal things. Help us, our God, to say, here from the world we turn, Jesus to seek. O God, I pray that we might hear thy voice tenderly speak. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Give them grace this day to come. For we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. That little verse, verse 27, Hebrews chapter 9. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, after this, the judgment. There's a subject here before us that perhaps is one that's uncomfortable for many. Many people don't like talking about it because it's too real. But we can't run away from reality. What do you do with reality? You face it. You've got to look it straight in the face. It said it is appointed unto men. Not by them, unto them. You see, friend, I know that's not popular today to tell you that we're not in control of everything. We're not the boss of everything. You and I have got one short life. The hymn writer said, life at best is very brief. It's like that falling of a leaf. It's like the binding of a sheaf. We need to be in time. It says here, it is appointed unto men once to die. And there is a promise here in the Word of God. The Word of God says in the book of Job, for we all must needs die. It's not that we want to, because let's be honest, we want to live. Life's very precious. You watch a person lie in the hospital bed, as I have over 50 years, watching people who are ill. And let's be quite honest, whenever they're there, they're fighting for life. That's why we go to the doctor. We want to live. That's why we get the medication. We want life to be as long as it possibly can. So therefore, life is something that is precious. But you know, there's a promise in God's precious word, and it's this. We all must needs die. It's appointed unto us once to die. For everything there's a season. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. That's reality. And God promises in his precious word that that appointment is certainly come. It is set for us, not by us. It's set for us. And God promises us that we'll die. Now, in the light of that promise, there is a problem. Because the question is this, well, then when? If we know that there's a certainty here staring us in the face that we've got to die, and there's a promise in God's word that we must needs die, and it is appointed unto man that we've got to die, and that I know, says Job, that thou wilt bring me to death. Thou wilt bring me. Notice who's in control here. Job says, God, I know that thou wilt bring me to death. So God is sovereign in life and God is sovereign in death, but we don't know when. In the book of Genesis, chapter 27, the man said this. He said, I know not the day of my death. And friend, neither do I. I'm standing in this pulpit today. In the will of God, I plan to go with our brethren across to the camp and to bring God's precious word. Will I? Well, I plan to. But will I? I don't know. Because that's in someone else's hand rather than mine. It's in the hand of God. For as I've said before, God is sovereign in life and God is sovereign in death. And so there is a problem, because as young David said to his friend Jonathan, he said, Jonathan, there's only a step between me and death. How long's the step? A little baby takes a step. But it's not as long as the young man. But it's a step. There's but a step between me. Have you ever thought of that? You see, whenever you take that next step, David was conscious that he would take that last step someday. That was God's appointment. I'm going to be honest, age means absolutely nothing. I have a cousin. In February, she was 101 past. But let me tell you, I had a great grandniece that was just 4 years of age. And they meet the same enemy. For the last enemy which shall be destroyed is death. What age have you to be to die? We don't know. It can be any age. It could be your age. Mine. But this I do know. There's a promise that's coming. And I know not the day of my death. I'm not talking about yours, mine. Neither do you know the day of yours. Now tell me, friend, if you know that there's something coming, if you know it's absolutely certain, but you don't know when it's going to come, what's the wise thing to do? It's to get ready. It's to be ready. Be ready for that day, whenever that appointment comes. And that's why Amos the prophet cried out, prepare to meet thy God. Isaiah the prophet stood in the presence of the king and he said these words. He says, set thine house in order, for thou shalt live, or die, but not live. What was he saying? Get ready. Get ready. I want to tell you, being ready doesn't take you 1 second sooner. But praise God when it comes, you're ready to go. And so the question I asked you this afternoon is this. In the light of God's eternity, in the light of the appointment that God has made for you, and then after this, God has appointed the judgment. When man shall stand before him, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. In the light of that reality, my question is this. Are you ready? Now you can do one or two things. You can bury your head in the sand and you can just shut your ears now and you close your mind to it and you'll fill your mind with something else. Or you can be faithful to your own soul. You can be honest with yourself. You can face up to the reality that God is talking about, because this is inevitable. I want to tell you, all the doctors of the world will not stop this. All the scientists and all the scientific discoveries of the world will not stop that day that God has appointed for you or me. It's not able. It's appointed unto us. So the question is, are you ready for it? Now the Bible tells us about different people. The Bible tells us of a person, he was the dying thief. And he was dying, friend, but he wasn't ready. Found God there and that dying before he closed his eyes in death. He looked to the Savior and he said, Lord, remember me. He turned his eyes to the Lord, friend. He turned his heart to the Lord and surrendered to the Lordship of Christ. And Jesus said to him, "This day thou shalt be with me." Thank God he was ready. And so the dying thief, he died forgiven. But remember, there was another dying thief on that cross. And he died unready. He died mocking. He died scoffing the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not give his heart and life to the Lord Jesus. Yes, one thief was saved. The other thief was lost. And friend, lost for all eternity in a Christless hell. The dying thief trusted Christ. It is in heaven. Remember Stephen, godly Stephen. Stephen came to the moment of death, friend, but thank God he died unafraid. Thank God whenever he was closing his eyes, he asked the Lord to forgive those that were putting him to death. And then he committed himself, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." And the Bible says he fell asleep. Unafraid. Why, friend? How is it that a person can die unafraid? Here's a secret. Psalm 23. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." When you have the Savior with you, then thank God, even though we have to die, even though we come to the last enemy, which shall be destroyed at death, until we come to that appointment, the day that God has appointed for us, we don't need to be afraid. Why? Because when you have the Savior with you, then you die unafraid. Paul, he died unashamed. He said, "I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." He says, "I've fought a good fight." He said, "I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown." The word of God tells me in 2 Samuel 3:33 that Abner died a fool. He died as a fool dying. Why? Because he knew the way of escape. He knew the way, and yet he walked out of the way. And maybe there's someone here this afternoon and you know that Jesus says, "I'm the way." The only way to heaven, let me tell you, the way to heaven is not the church. The way to heaven is not the sacrament. The way to heaven is not communion. It's not the baptismal tank or font. There's but one way to heaven. Jesus says, "I'm the way." And friend, you'll never get to heaven without Jesus. Because he's the only way. And maybe there are people here today and you're relying upon your works to get you to heaven. You say, "Well, listen, preacher, I'm trying the best I can. I'm doing the very best. Listen, I am sweating and I'm working and I'm sleeping. I'm doing everything's possible to get right with God and to have peace with God and to get to heaven." This is what the Bible said. Not of works. lest any man should boast. So after all your works, after all your trying, after all you're doing, you'll never make heaven. Because by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should go. Salvation is in Christ, and in Christ alone. Not of works that I have done, but to rest my soul upon the finished work that Jesus did for me at the place of Calvary. Yes. The wise thing today is this, is to be ready. Oh, that they were wise, the scripture says. That they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. And I ask you today, I beg you in God's name, consider the reality that is facing each and every one of us, that you will not be able to escape, that you will not be able to run from, that you'll not be able to hide from. The reality that one day God has appointed, maybe this day is that very day, God has appointed for you to die. And then, but this is not the end. After this, the judgment. See, friend, when you come to that moment of death and you close your eyes on death and your soul leaves your body, at the command of God, you go out to God's eternity, either to be with Christ in heaven or in hell without him. So tell me, where are you going? Be honest with yourself. Be honest with your soul. If this is your last day on earth, if this is the last day that you'll breathe on this earth and you're called out to meet God, tell me, where are you going to? One of two places. Heaven or hell. And you're there forever. Hymn writer says, where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what will your answer be? Where will you be in God's eternity? The psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I've nothing to fear. Why? Because of God's peace within my soul. Are you at peace with God today? Have you experienced the peace of God today within your heart? Are you ready? Ready to go. Some years ago, I went to visit a dear man in the hospital. When I went to visit him in the hospital, he was a very ungodly man. He had no time for the things of God, but then God worked a miracle of grace, and God really broke that man's heart and brought him to the place of repentance. And I had the joy of leading Willie to the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember going in to see him this day, and when I went in to see him in the hospital, I said, Willie, how are you today? And he looked at me and he said, Mr. McRae, he says, I want to tell you, I'm so happy. He said, do you know what I told the Lord this morning?
I told the Lord, Lord, if you want me to live, I'm happy to live. And if you want me to die, I'm happy to die. Lord, I'm so happy. We talked together for a little while.
It was an intensive care ward in the hospital, our local hospital. I says, Willie, we better read the scriptures because I don't want to tire you out. And I lifted the word of God and I started to read God's word. And after reading God's word and bringing wee thought to Willie's heart, he was really rejoicing in the Lord. I says, Willie, we'll pray. And we closed our eyes and we prayed. In the middle of that prayer, friend, I could hear this. And the doctors came into the ward and they threw the curtains back and they brought the machine in and they tried everything possible. And in a few moments, well, he was gone. And the last words he said to me was this. I told the Lord today, if you want me to live, I'm happy to live. If you want me to die, I'm happy to die. Lord, I'm happy. Why, friend? Because Willie was ready to meet the Lord. Here's my question. Are you? Because if you're not, friend, it's not matter how much money you own or how much you have in the bank or haven't, because you leave it all. All. And you'll go out penniless. But you go out to meet God. I beg you today, please don't leave this church until you're dead on certain that you're in with God. Oh, be saved, His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow in thy holy presence today, we realize that we're in a solemn place. For folks in this service today, there's some that are saved and there's some that are not. Lord, that means that some's ready and some are not ready. Some, if they close their eyes in death today, will leave a house of opportunity for to be saved. Turn their back on thee for a last time and walk away in their sin. And die in their sin. And be lost in hell forever. Oh God, I pray that this service might be the means of being used of thee to be a barricade on their way to hell. That thou art our God, just speak to them about eternal things, that they'll not let the world crowd in after the service is over, but they'll seek the Lord while he may be found. That they'll call upon thee while thou art near. Give them grace to call. Give them grace to come as a sinner to Jesus. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Folks, today as I finish my part, I'll just say this to you. Don't put God's salvation off. You know what God says?
Behold, look here, look. Now is the accepted time. Now is your day of salvation. Don't go down that corridor. Don't go out into this plaza today unsaved. Speak to us about eternal things. We'll gladly show you from God's precious word how you can be saved and know you're saved and be sure you're saved. To be as sure of heaven as if you were there. And it's all through Christ.